The number that matters here is 202. That's the reported count of Chinese vessels, a mix of People's Liberation Army Navy ships, Coast Guard cutters, and maritime militia boats, that have massed near Scarborough Shoal and one of the reefs in the Spratly Chain near Philippine-administered waters. Beijing simultaneously announced live-fire naval drills. These two things together constitute a deliberate show of force that is calibrated precisely below the threshold that would trigger automatic mutual defense obligations under the U.S.-Philippines Treaty, but only just barely.
What's the specific reef we're talking about here? Because the geography matters enormously in the South China Sea. Every reef, every shoal has its own legal status, its own history of confrontation.
The reporting points to the area around Whitsun Reef, which Filipino authorities call Julian Felipe Reef, and the broader Spratly Chain. This is the same area where we saw Chinese maritime militia vessels mass in early 2021, roughly 300 vessels at that time. So this deployment is somewhat smaller than that 2021 incident, but comes with something the 2021 deployment didn't. Simultaneous announced live-fire exercises. That escalation in explicit military signaling is new. In 2021, Beijing could claim those were fishing vessels sheltering from weather. You can't make that claim while simultaneously announcing artillery practice.
The Philippine response is being watched very closely by the entire ASEAN bloc. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. has been more assertive in pushing back against Chinese encroachment than his predecessor Duterte was. Marcos has actually filed formal diplomatic protests. He's allowed the U.S. military to access additional bases under the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement. The question now is whether Manila makes a formal request for consultations under Article 4 of the Mutual Defense Treaty, which is the step just before invoking Article 5, which is the collective defense obligation.
And that consultation mechanism matters because it puts Washington in a position it has been carefully trying to avoid, having to either publicly commit to defending Philippine forces or hedge in a way that signals to Beijing that the alliance has limits. The Biden administration spent considerable effort clarifying that the U.S.-Philippines Treaty covers Philippine Coast Guard vessels operating in their exclusive economic zone. The Trump administration has been somewhat more ambiguous about that specific coverage, and Beijing has been probing that ambiguity.
From a business and markets perspective, the South China Sea is where a significant fraction of global container shipping transits. Some estimates put it at $3 trillion in trade annually. If those lanes become genuinely contested, or if there's any kind of maritime incident, the supply chain disruption would ripple through every sector that depends on Asia-Pacific manufacturing. We saw in 2021 how vulnerable those supply chains are to even moderate disruption. A live military confrontation would be categorically worse.
There's also a deterrence logic that China is testing here. Taiwan's presidential election cycle, internal political consolidation in Beijing, the PLA's ongoing modernization trajectory, all of these factors contribute to a posture where China is willing to accept more friction in the South China Sea right now because the cost-benefit calculation looks favorable from their perspective. They're asserting administrative and military facts on the water, and every week that assertion goes unchallenged, it becomes harder to reverse.
Which brings us to a question I keep asking about both the Hormuz situation and the South China Sea simultaneously. Is the United States military actually positioned to respond credibly to two separate maritime crises in different theaters, while also maintaining its commitments in Europe, which brings us to Ukraine?